comes right now.
Can we do that again unto the Lord? Why don't somebody just praise the Lord for a moment? Let's have a praise break for the next 30 to 45 seconds. Somebody remind him just what he really means to you. Oh, that men would praise the Lord from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The name of the Lord is to be praised. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Someone already said it, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out. Does anybody feel like crying out unto the Lord for a moment? We're going to preach, but I think we need to bless the Lord for just a few moments. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. It was the psalmist David who recognized the greatness, the awesomeness of our God when he said that his power is measureless. But he also said, his greatness is unsearchable. I said his greatness is unsearchable and his power is measureless. You can't measure anything that God is a part of. So just go ahead and throw away your tape measure. Get rid of your yardstick. That's old school, isn't it? God is present everywhere and absent no place. Because he's measureless. He can leave where he is and go to where you are and never leave where he was. Because he is measureless. That's why I'm excited about what God is about to do. Do not limit God. Because he's able to do more than we can ask. I know you're standing. We will quickly turn to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10. Ready for the word of the Lord. My, have we been blessed already in this service. Tremendous singing that has certainly added to and enhanced the atmosphere and the climate of this meeting. And I concur with your pastor. There is an awesome presence of God in this place. I'm convinced that there is deep, deep water. You started talking about angels a few moments ago. Some people, that they find that somewhat spooky. But this is an apostolic church. This is a spiritual journey. Amen. Start talking about angels. That's deep. But deep is calling unto deep. And the deep waters are troubled. And somebody, I believe, is going to make it a point tonight to step into the water. And when you do, I think you're going to be surprised. Well, maybe not. Because I believe there's expectation in here. But you're going to be pleased with the results. Has anybody come after a result tonight? I've already put on some spiritual pounds because a good report makes the bones fat. And we've heard a lot of good reports tonight. So we're gaining weight spiritually and probably the other way too. But there are miracle reports about to be born out of this service tonight. It's Saturday night and it's not the devil's night. It belongs to God. Does anybody have time for a miracle? That's a word. I know you're standing. Let me quickly say this. That's a word we use quite frequently in the rank and file of Pentecostalism, apostolicism. Hardly a service goes by that word is not mentioned, either in song or sermon. Miracle. But I'm not using that word lightly. I'm not handling that word loosely. I am convinced there's a miracle in the making tonight for somebody. Mark chapter 10. We will begin reading with verse number 46. They came to Jericho. And as his disciples went out, Jericho with his disciples, or as he went out with Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus, and Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately, everybody say immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I could preach tonight from this thought, from this question form, is there a Bartimaeus here? But that's not my subject title tonight. And yet, having said that, it remains to be seen if there's a Bartimaeus numbered among the crowd here this evening. Because in all fairness, I must warn you, I must tell you that Bartimaeus has been known to act up. He's been known to be a little rowdy, radical, loud, and maybe even obnoxious. He upsets the apple cart. Amen? He's been known to create a stir, a ruckus. Is it permissible to use that word in Kentucky, ruckus? So I don't know if there's a Bartimaeus here or not, tonight or not, because Bartimaeus has been known to create a scene. He's not concerned about image. He's not conscious of trying to protect an image. The only thing that matters, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." I need a miracle. If you will indulge me tonight, we're going to hear one more sermon about Bartimaeus. Sitting at a table in a restaurant some months ago, a pastor was sharing with me. He said, "I've heard Bartimaeus just about the last time I want to hear preaching about Bartimaeus. I wished he was here tonight. He would have to hear one more message about Bart." Can I preach about Bartimaeus tonight? We're going to start with Bartimaeus, but we're going to end up with you. Praise Him before you're seated. Hallelujah. Before you're seated, some of you have already taken the liberty, but I want to tell you my subject tonight, it's not permanent. Weeping may endure for the night, but it's not permanent. Joy cometh in the morning. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but it's not final. It's not permanent. The Lord delivereth him out of them all. I want to speak to somebody that's going through a storm and remind you of who the master of the wind is, who the maker of the rain is, and tell you it's not permanent. It's only temporary. To everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. It's not permanent. You may be seated. The setting in the text tonight takes place on the outskirts of Jericho. When Jesus, I believe, was making his final trip to Jerusalem before his vicarious death on the cross, the blind man is mentioned by name, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, only in Mark's gospel. Now there is a similar story that is recorded in Luke's gospel chapter 20 and also another gospel in chapter 18, Matthew. The blind man's name, however, is not given in either one of these parallel passages. It would appear to us that Mark, his writings are a little more personal and a little more detailed than Matthew and Luke, because he not only reveals the name of the beggar, but also the name of the beggar's father, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. If you will allow me tonight, I want to draw your attention to this individual who I do believe there is a message that can be preached from the miracle that has taken place in the text. I want to ask you to consider with me the unique, if not special, set of circumstances that encompasses the man in the text. First of all, we're told that he was blind. The son of Timaeus, as a result of his disability, was deprived of one of life's greatest gifts. Having the misfortune of being born blind, Bartimaeus, I believe, was a stranger to the beauties of Mother Nature all around him. His disability, his blindness, robbed him of all the pleasures and the profits of reading. I want to preach, to be born blind, to live out your life in total darkness, is indeed tragic, and it is indeed unfortunate. But not only was Bartimaeus born blind, but as fate would have it, apparently he was also born into a very impoverished family. In other words, born with two disabilities, born with two strikes against him. You talk about a classic example of an individual being born behind the eight ball, if you will, to be born with a disability, not able to see, and also to be born very, very poor. It would appear that it would be more than what this man could ever hope to overcome. But before I'm through preaching, I want to remind everyone under the sound of my voice that all things are still possible to those who can believe. I just want to know tonight, has anybody come to this service believing? I'm sure that many of you have put in your prayer time for these services, but it's not enough to just pray. A lot of people pray, but only a few really believe. So I'm going to ask you one more time, how many's come tonight believing for something out of the ordinary? I don't need another sermonette. I don't need another pat on the back. I don't need to hear just another pleasant song. I need to be reminded that my situation is not hopeless, that there remains yet a chance for change, because it is not permanent. Bartimaeus is born blind. He's born poor. As a result of his disability, he's at the mercy of a cold and cruel and callous society, daily sitting by the roadside, desperately depending on the alms of the passing travelers. Humanly speaking, his condition was hopeless. His condition was final, and it was indeed permanent. I realize that human logic and reasoning and rationale would say to Bartimaeus, you need to accept your situation as being permanent and final. You need to learn how to deal with the hand that has been dealt you. How many has ever read that bumper sticker that reads, Elvis is dead, deal with it? Now, in Mississippi, we still have some problems with that. You know, there's Elvis sightings from time to time. He's in Maui. He's in the Bahamas. The Swiss Alps. I don't know about that. I kind of doubt it. But people are still, all these years, having a difficult time coming to terms with the fact that the so-called king of rock and roll is dead. But I believe he's dead, so deal with it. What the bumper sticker is saying, the message is being conveyed. You just need to accept it and move on. And that seems to be what the populace of his day would tell Bartimaeus. Just accept your situation and move on and try to get by the best you can. I'm telling you, that's a lie that the devil has tried to brainwash the church with. that says we've always struggled and we're always going to be little and we're always going to be at a disadvantage and this sickness is going to kill me. But I got a word for that spirit tonight. It's not permanent. The blood of Jesus Christ still has something to say about the final outcome. I want to remind you, there is a name. You may be sick, but there's a name. Your family may be going through chaos, but there is a name that is above all names. Why don't we magnify that name right now? Hallelujah. The voices would shout to Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus, you're a beggar. Your clothes are torn and tattered. Bartimaeus, you're a loser, a liability. You're a nobody. You're an outcast. I realize that logic and human reasoning would tell Bartimaeus, I need to just perish the thought of things ever improving and turning around. I'm going to be preaching to people tonight. The devil's tried to convince you that your family will never be saved. They'll never be a part of this church. They'll never join you in an apostolic service running the aisles and shouting the victory. And we're just going to have to even, you know, at best, just be content with a little. It even tries to speak to the ministry that if we can just hold on, if we can just maintain the course, if we can just stand our ground, you know, the Bible says, after all, having done all to stand, if we'll just stand. Listen, I am a proponent. I am a believer in survival. But honey, the spirit of this last day is speaking to the church expressively that we don't have to settle for survival. I don't want to just get locked down singing that same old song, holding the fort, but we need to learn a new song. It's Onward, Christian Soldiers. Too many singing, standing on the promises while they're sitting on the premises. You've heard it before, but we've got too many settlers and not enough pioneers in the church that says, I will not be satisfied with the status quo. I will not be satisfied just remaining. But I'm ready to launch out into deep waters and believe God for everything that He has promised me. I speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that He will open doors. And it will be a very quick work. I looked at a pastor not long ago whose 18-year-old son been raised in the church. And he walked out in a rebellious state. Never had received the Holy Ghost. And he told his parents, I'm tired of your rules. I'm tired of curfews. I'm tired of living under your roof. I've graduated from high school. I now have a job. I'm moving in with some friends. I'm going to do my own thing. And in a revival service, I turned to the pastor's wife who tearfully was playing the piano. I turned to the pastor and I said, hear the word of the Lord. God will do a quick work. God has already begun to turn your son around, and it will be just a matter of days. You will see a miracle in your son. You say, you better be careful. That's building on false hope. I'm telling you, God does not tease us. He does not mislead us. He does not misrepresent us, and He will not lead you wrong. That was that night. Do you know who was sitting on the back pew the next night of revival? That pastor turned to me and said, I had no idea he would be here tonight. That's a pretty quick work. I said, that is a sign of better things to come. God has just begun to work. I refuse to accept some things as being permanent. Is there anybody on this side who's still holding out for a miracle? Who says my family will be saved? I still believe God is going to do it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. you. I feel the hand. My God, what a testimony. That unseen hand that was made visible to you. Thank God in every generation, God has those who can see the unseen and hear the unheard and feel the unfelt, that says, I've become oblivious to the obvious. I choose to believe that God is going to move. That pastor called me 2 weeks later and said, I just got off the phone with Brian. And he got the Holy Ghost about an hour ago. He decided that he would go to Brother Holmes' youth service on Friday night. Some young people invited him. He went and he prayed through to the Holy Ghost. He said, my God, that's a quick work. When you get a word from the Lord, you better hold on to it. Things may get worse for a while, but they're not permanent. Joy cometh in the morning. Somebody's living the midnight crisis of their life, but joy, what a prophetic word, joy will come. There's a beautiful sunrise in your very near future. Does anybody believe what I'm talking about? In just a few days, he come to his father and said, is it all right if I move back in? See, when you get the Holy Ghost, you just think different. You talk different. Hello, hello, hello. I'm telling you, that family went through some miserable nights. But oh, joy did come in the morning. I'm talking to somebody right now. Things couldn't get much worse, but they're about to get better. In a hurry. You hear the word of the Lord. The pain that fills your body right now in the next 30 minutes. There will be an alleviation of that pain. And it will not be momentary. It will not last for just a little while. But there is a permanent divine healing that is getting ready to come into your body. The door that's about to open, God is going to allow it to remain ajar. And the enemy cannot close the door. If God opens the door, hell can get in a frenzy. I don't care. Hell can throw a temper tantrum. It does not matter. When God opens the door, you will walk through it. Oh, I feel some joy. I see a sunrise coming into somebody's life in the name of Jesus. But reasoning voices, rationale would say, Bartimaeus, I mean, you know, you were born this way. It's always going to be this way. It's always going to be a struggle to survive. You were born depending on others to exist. And it's always going to be this way. But something magical happened, bordering on the miraculous, when he heard that Jesus was passing by. Suddenly there was an impulse, an emotion, a stirring within that says, you know what? Just maybe this is my moment. Maybe this is my destiny. I'm telling somebody tonight, you better seize the moment. You better not take these services lightly, because God has, I believe, divinely orchestrated. Well, we do this quite a bit, preacher. This is not the only time we have special services, is when you come to town. I realize that, but I am here to tell you that the Bible places a premium on the present tense. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. I can't afford to wait for Sunday morning or the next revival. I'm telling somebody, get your chin off your chest. Get some yes back in your spirit and attitude that says, my God will do it. To him there is nothing to it. If we don't believe this, let's go to the house. But I got a feeling somebody is ready to rise up with a fresh declaration of faith and tell the devil it's not permanent. Woo! It's easy to shout when everybody's shouting. It's easy to run when a half a dozen are making a lap. But somebody ought to just make a lap if for no other reason the devil don't want you to. Well, I don't feel anything. Show me where you gotta feel something. It's not about feeling. If we went by feelings, we'd be under our juniper tree sucking our thumb. We'd have stayed at home and went to bed early and got a little extra sleep. It's not about feelings. It's about seizing the moment. It's about an understanding of a God that can turn beauty, the beauty for ashes, that can turn the situation around in a divine moment. It can happen. Receive your miracle tonight. Boy, I'm going to really get out there on the limb, but I'm not afraid. That's where the fruit is. I just believe that won't be the last time you'll see that hand. In fact, soon. And I want you to know, you better hear the word of the Lord. I haven't talked to this pastor, he hasn't talked to me about this church, but this church is in safekeeping. This church is in safe hands because it's built on the proper foundation. And you hear me, it has a glorious past. But my Bible tells me the glory of the latter house. Are we not living in the latter days? The glory of the latter is going to be greater than the former. And that's not a cheap shot at the past. Thank God you've got a glorious history. Something you can be proud of. Something that you can beam with spiritual pride about. But I'm here to tell you, my Bible says it's from glory to glory. From faith to faith. From victory to victory. I still believe, somebody better hear me tonight, that the best is still yet to come. Your days of numerical growth are not coming to an end. Your days of great revivals are not a thing of the past. Victory is not relegated to yesteryear. But I'm here to tell you, this is the day the Lord hath made. What God is about to do. Woo! My, what an experience that must have been. God's going to give you a repeat performance. I know, you know. Well, I'm not talking about him. I'll just wait and see about that. Get back with me on that, brother. Let me know when it happens. I'm going to tell you right now, with that attitude, you won't see it. But he will. I'm glad that others' unbelief does not shut down God in my life. One man said, though God made windows in heaven, but you know what? It happened according to the word of the Lord in spite of his skepticism. I don't really feel a lot of skepticism and reservation in this house. I feel faith rising to a crescendo. And he's not the only one that's about to step into a special God sent visitation. God's about to turn some family situations around. Relationships that have been fractured and severed by the adversary. There is a healing. There is going to be a coming together, and God is going to bridge the gap. And there will be joy and gladness again. You will feel complete. God's going to give you your smile back. You're going to get your shout back. You're going to get your song back. Don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to the skeptics, the critics, Bartimaeus. You can be seated. It says you're doomed to live out your life not only in darkness but depression. See, they're inseparable. You can't separate the one from the other. They go hand in hand. Darkness, depression, darkness complicated, compounded by depression. Can you imagine how depleted, how depressed, how discouraged and despaired he must have been until he heard? Because he inquires, what's the commotion about? See, there was a commotion that got his attention. You won't find a real move of God in a blessed and silent golden silence. I know there's a time to sit and to listen and to meditate. It's not all in shouting, but it's not all in sitting either. I know some apostolics, their favorite verse that says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were. See, I've got Bible, preacher, for my city. They were sitting before they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But read a few verses later, and they are accused of being intoxicated. Something different is beginning to happen. You may come to church and sit for a while, but when the Holy Ghost starts falling, the good thing about it, it doesn't just fall, it feels. And it's about to fall and feel somebody with joy, with gladness, with hope. Your dream has not died. What God promised you years ago, it's still on schedule. Your valley is not permanent. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of death. I hear people all the time, and I know I get the essence, the gist of what they're talking about. And we've all, as a figure of speech and a play on words, we've all used that. Well, you just don't know what I'm going through. We need to stop and listen to what we just said. You said you're going through it. Does anybody, well, I know I could just ask this question. Is anybody going through something? But how many's going through what you're going through? One of these days when I get to really be the preacher that I want to be, and I'm sincere, I'm not there yet. I'm going to preach that message that the Lord give me a thought that says, I'm going to preach about the other side of through. There is another side. There is another side. That's where I'm trying to go. Some of us haven't got there yet. But do not have a pity party this side of your destiny. Somebody just needs to keep moving forward. Keep pressing. Keep praying. Keep worshiping. And after a while, you're going to realize, hey, I've come through it, and I've still got my sanity. I still got my dignity. I still got my joy. I still got a shout. I'm going through. David said, I'm going through it. What he was saying, I'm just passing by. It's not permanent. It's temporary. It's momentary. It's a season. It's necessary, but it's not final. I'm in transition. I'm constantly on the move. I think an apostolic just looks better and feels better on the move. The Bible doesn't say the kingdom of God is like a man in an easy chair. It talks about it's like a man traveling. I mean, he's on a journey. And the Bible does say, having done all to stand, pull up a chair. Sit on the floor. No, stand. There's going to be a refreshing that comes. Resurrection of strength and vitality. You're going to move out again and you're going to go forth and conquer. Amen? David said, I'm in the valley, I'm in a wilderness, but I'm just passing through. I'm not even going to be here long enough to buy and build. Hello? In fact, it's going to be so short-lived. The season is going to be so short that I'm not even going to bother to put up my little pup tent and spend the night. Any of y'all remember when you, any of you fellas about my age out there, 48? Almost 49. You're not quite there yet. Get that first pup tent, and all of us cousins get together, and we're 7, 8 years old. We're going to spend the night in the darkness where the boogers are. We got a pup tent for Christmas. Me and my brother invited the cousins. We're going camping. We made it to the front yard. Protected by the nightlight above. But we didn't make it all night because we saw something. In the shadows, we heard something. And the next morning, my dad and mother gets up and there's kids all, they go walk in the kitchen down in the den and there's kids laying around everywhere. What's happened? Daddy, you're not going to believe this. We saw something out there. We heard something. My dad just starts laughing. He says, if you look for a booger, you're going to find a booger. Oh no, we saw it. Something was out there. Some kind of varmint, some kind of creature. The creature from the Black Lake. Vampires are real, Daddy. Hello? David said, I'm just passing by. I'm not even going to bother to put up a little pup tent because I'm not going to be here that long. How many times have I been praying and you've been praying and be going through something and God speak to us, this too shall pass. Somebody needs to hear that. Well, I hadn't heard the Lord speak that to me lately. Let the Lord speak through the preacher tonight to you and tell you that this too shall pass. It has been not sent to destroy, but to develop you. But I'm in a dark place, preacher. Hey, character is best developed in the dark. And you're in a dark place, but oh, it's time to arise and shine. For thy light is come. Anybody over here been walking through a dark place? Let me preach to you. God is about to shine forth and give direction in your midnight hour, because what you have been going through, the heartache and the heartbreak, is not permanent. There is a healing that is about to be administered to you, and you will rise up in greatness and you will go forth and shine for His glory. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. It's not permanent, Bartimaeus. But your clothes are torn and tattered. You're a liability, a loser. He's always been attracted to losers, the dysfunctional. Make us feel better. Hello, but you don't know my family. Man, I got they're nuts. Dysfunctional. You just don't realize it. Man, they're out of their mind. Man, stories I could tell you, they're legendary. Huh? I hear that all the time out of people. But I'm telling you, that's the kind of people He's attracted to. I never want to get to the place that I think I'm something I'm not. Amen? You get around a few folks that God's blessed, and you would think by the vibes they put on, by the way they carry themselves, and so prideful that they've always had money, that they've always been blessed. Get around some people, you know, if it were to rain, they would drown. Their nose is so far up. Nothing wrong with, you know, having some godly pride, but keep your nose at a friendly level. That's right. And people were looking down their nose at Bartimaeus. Shh, be quiet. You're a nobody. You stink. Now, Kentucky folks probably say, Bartimaeus, you smell. But in Mississippi, man, you stink. Man, there's a foul odor coming in from your direction. Stay away. No, I'm telling you, he was discriminated against. There's always going to be somebody to try to shut you down. Hello. There's a spirit trying to make inroads into our movement that says we've grown intellectually beyond this point and manner of worship, and we don't have to clap our hands and stomp our feet and run the aisles and talk in tongues and really be radical in our worship. I don't think we are radical enough. It's time to get aggressive. Somebody needs to get aggressive in their praying, in their worship, in their singing, in our preaching. It's time to pull out all the stops. We're racing the coming of the Lord. Somebody needs to get radical tonight and say, that preacher, I believe, is preaching right down where I'm living. And I'm not going to miss my moment. Bartimaeus didn't, and I will not. He's always been attracted to the losers. Not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise, but God has chosen the foolishness of this world, the simple, the base, the ordinary, the common, Amen. He doesn't call the qualified, but whom he calls, he qualifies. Bartimaeus, I think where you're sitting, he will pass right beside you. That's all he needed to hear. And he begins to cry out, and they try to shut him down. But I like what Bartimaeus did. He just reached over there and turned the volume up. I don't know, it's probably not the Holy Ghost, but there's just something in me. When the enemy tries to shut me down, and I feel an old intimidating spirit that says, you know, don't loosen your tie. Don't get so loud. Don't sweat or perspire. You know, we've got protocol and we've got a certain order in the church, and you know, everything needs to be professional. I'm choking to death on professionalism, and we don't need any more professionalism. We need some power, folks. There's a time for all things. We don't need any more polish. We need passion. Don't try to preach to Bartimaeus about polish and professionalism. He's never been there. But one thing about him, he's got passion. He's got desire. I know he's blind physically. He cannot see. But spiritually, he has 20/20 vision. He sees what the religious cannot see. Those religious bureaucrats of Jerusalem, the elite, the upper crust of Christian society then, they were blind to who Jesus was and had attributed his miracles to the workings of Satan. He's of the devil. He does this by the power of Beelzebub, chief prince of devils. They were blind, but here is an illiterate, uneducated, poor beggar that knows who he is. How do you know? Because look at how he's addressing Jesus. Thou son of David! What he is saying, I know who you are. You are the prophesied one. You are the Messiah that has been foretold that would come. He knew something the religious crowd did not know. That's why he walked away that day with a miracle. Sometimes we just think we've got it together and we know. But I'm here to tell you, if we can feel just for a moment the way he was feeling and understand that without him we can do nothing, and you're in situations that you cannot pay your way out of. You can't make a call to somebody in a high place and they take care of the situation. I'm talking about there are times when we find ourselves in situations when only a miracle will be suffice. I'm preaching to people tonight. You need a miracle. I hear that all the time. But preacher, I need a miracle. And I understand the urgency of that and the sincerity and the seriousness of that. But let me tell you, if you need a miracle, we don't really need to sweat it, because that's God's area. It's not my area. I'm not a miracle worker. I've never healed anybody. I've laid hands on people and God has healed them. I've prayed for people and they've died. That's a good promotional statement, isn't it? But I'm just being honest. But you know what? I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be like one preacher who said, I'm going to practice my faith. I'm going to keep getting the oil. I'm going to slap it on their forehead. And I'm going to pray because it works. And I'm going to leave the results to God. Had a man to call me the other day. He lost everything in Hurricane Rita, South Texas. He come to one of my revivals. He said, I'm here because I've lost everything. He said, the insurance will not pay. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. Me and my wife's got a condition. I prayed for her, rebuked whatever she has. God did not show me what she had. I prayed against it. I prophesied to him. This is before he talked to me, called both of them out, began to prophesy some things to them. God's going to turn it around. There are blessings that's going to come. He walks up to me and gives me this sad story. And man, I'm in tears. I mean, it is a sad story. And he starts to walk away and he turns around. He says, I tell you what I feel to do, Brother Sanford. I want to give you $100 bill. He said, I want to sow this into your ministry. After hearing his story, I wanted to give him $100. My first reaction was, no, I can't take this from you. You need this. But I would have offended him, first of all. And second of all, I would have been cheating him. of a future blessing. Does anybody believe what I'm talking about? I'm telling, there are people that have sacrificed and you have given. And I'm telling you, God has not looked the other way. He saw it. And there are blessings coming down the dusty road of your life. He called me the other day, probably 5-6 weeks after I prophesied to him and prayed for he and his wife. And he gave me that $100 bill. And he said, I've got a praise report. He said, you didn't know it, but when you prayed for my wife, she had a tumor behind her optic nerve. And said she went to the doctor again this week and it is gone. That kind of, no, that sounds like Jesus has been at work. Hallelujah. And he said, you know what? I got another praise report. He said, I went to my mailbox this week. And he said, I don't even know who they are. But somebody sent me a check for $3,000. Well, I can see $3,000 ain't a whole lot in Kentucky. But when you ain't got nothing hardly, it's pretty good. That's a pretty good return, 100 and get 2,900 back profit. Give and it shall be given. No, don't get nervous. I'm not taking an offering. I don't do that. Some evangelists do. I'm not one of them. Only took an offering up one time as an evangelist, and that was for a pastor. That was last year, and the Holy Ghost moved on me and said, do it. There's a need. I fought it all the way. That's not my area. I don't take offerings. Of course, when I used to pastor, I preached on tithing. Now that I'm an evangelist, I preach offerings. But I don't take offerings. But I felt a need, and I said, this is for the pastor. We haven't conversed and conspired, and we're not going to split this. I said, this goes to he and his family. There's a need. He hadn't told me anything, and people started coming and giving. Pastor told me afterwards, he said, it's a miracle. Something happened. I haven't told you, Brother Sanford, but there was a need, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And he said, the offering that we received tonight is more. I said, and it's yours. You the bishop here, the offering is for you. I don't want a dime of it. Did I need some of it? Yeah. But it wasn't mine to take. I'm telling you right now, I feel somebody needs to hear the word of the Lord. You may be down, but it's temporary. Hallelujah. Preacher made a statement one time, caused everybody to do a double take. He said, I want to go on record by saying that I have never been down. Man, this guy's an egocentric, you know, a little full of himself. He said, no, let me qualify the statement. He said, I'm either up or I'm getting up. Hello? Man. How do you defeat somebody with that kind of attitude? I got knocked down, but I wouldn't stay down. When I fall, I shall arise. It's not permanent. I'm preaching to people right now. I'm going to tell you, to the devil's chagrin, you're getting back on your feet. God's about to turn that financial nightmare around. In a time of economic tailspin and uncertainty, I'm telling somebody, when Egypt was ready to say goodbye to those Jews, the same people they had made their life miserable for 430 years. They said, before you leave here, take our gold, take our silver, take all of our stuff. They went in poor and came out wealthy. Went in numbering a few, about 70, came out numbering in the millions. Went in down, but came out up. I'm telling you, God, you know, when Jacob sent Joseph or his brethren into Egypt in a time of famine, he sent empty wagons to bring back provisions. But he looked and saw the wagons returning and they were loaded down. I'm just about through preaching, but somebody needs to get a hold of this. Does anybody believe that God's about to load your wagon? Let me try it again. Does anybody need God to throw on a few bags on the wagon? I know we're up and down, and I really wanted somebody to stand up on that one, but they didn't. But I don't think God's going to penalize you. I know in our movement, somebody said the only exercise that a lot of apostolic folks get is sidestepping issues and jumping to conclusions and running others down, but not here. We're with the up and down bunch. Somebody believes this. And you don't have to make a lap for you to get a miracle, but if you want to, that's fine. You just got to believe it. Didn't say these signs are going to follow them that shout, but we do shout. Didn't say these signs are going to follow them that sing. We do sing. These signs shall follow, the best dressed in our movement. No. Some people look like they just stepped out of the GQ magazine of Pentecost. But that's not a prerequisite. If you can believe, get ready. There's a miracle that God's working on. Right over here, sister, stand up. Hallelujah. God's working on a miracle right now. Lift your hands and praise Him for it. It's been a long time in coming, but it's coming. Hallelujah. Stand, sister. God's going to touch your body tonight. Holy Ghost said it's already done. Strength, healing in the name of Jesus. I got a little more preaching, but I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to turn God loose. Come on, stand with me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You want to know one reason why I believe that Simon Peter could reach down and lift the man at the gate beautiful up? He could sympathize with the man. He was physically crippled, but Simon could see the time in his life when he was a spiritual cripple. But Lord had restored and had saved and forgiven him. And that's why he could say, such as I have, give I unto thee. I was right where you were. Spiritually. You're there physically. But I was really worse off than you because I was a spiritual cripple. But what God has given me, I'm about to impart some of that in you. Got a little revelation. I get them every now and then. They don't seem to really affect a lot of people, but it does me. It may be a small explosion, but it's an explosion. I believe that God, and I'm careful because I don't want to be misinterpreted. When I was 23 years old, I had been suffering for 2 years. It's hereditary in my family, high blood pressure. I was borderline high blood pressure. Just 23 years old, had been bothered with it for 2 years. And the doctor said, cut out the salt. And I said, okay. Went years without table salt. Didn't salt my food. Still hardly put salt. Used a little bit today. But I was in a revival, preaching the revival, and I was so sick my head was hurting. And I'd been prayed for before. Nettleton, Mississippi, Brother George Hill. I said, brother, pray for me. And gathered several preachers gathered around a large church, prayed for me. God instantly that night, that was just before I turned 23, because it was in April of 83, God instantly healed me. And that's been quite a few years ago. I can have my blood pressure checked any time, and it's 120 over 70. Maybe 122 over 73, 74. I can eat anything I want. I'm just telling you, God healed me. I was headed, the doctors at 23 wanted to put me on medication. So that's where you're headed, high blood pressure. I said, no, I'm not going. I made a statement. I made a choice. I said, I'm not going that route. If I get on medication now, I'll be on the rest of my life. There is a healer. And God healed me that night. And I'm still healed of that. That's why, I mean, I don't wish high blood pressure on anybody, but that's why when I pray for somebody that's had high blood pressure, I kind of feel like Simon, such as I have, give I unto thee. Kind of feel like I got a little bit of authority in that area. That what God did for me, there can be impartation. And I can rebuke that same condition. And I've seen God heal many people of high blood pressure. Come here, sister. I'm staying right down here. Right over here. Sorry, I can't think of your last name. Wagoner. All right. You got your wagon? Loaded. Hallelujah. I want you to praise God for what He just did for you. Three sisters in here. Three sisters with conditions in your body, regardless of what it is. I could name some of them, but I would come stand right beside her because she's going to reach over and pray for you. And what God has done for her, He's going to do for you. Is it all right if we just have a healing service around here? Your condition is not permanent. It's not a one-man show. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost. Sister Sanford, come up here. I want her to lay hands on you. Got a condition in your body. We're going to believe the Lord. We can get some musicians up here to begin to play something. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But I've been prayed for more times than I remember. It's time to go again. It's time to pray again. It's time to believe God again. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he began to cry out the more. And that day he received his miracle. Can we gather in tonight? Let's all gather in. Hallelujah. I want you to lay hands on the person beside you. Take that hand if it's appropriate. And let's pray. The gift of faith is in this place. Healing is in this house. There are future praise reports being birthed. Such as I have, give I unto thee. I've seen more healings in services just like this with the congregation praying for one another.